Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin, and today we have Sean O'Hara, who is with us today, and he founded his agency, Raider Hill Website Design and Marketing, in 2011. So thank you so much for joining us today, Sean. I'm excited to learn about your journey of starting your agency and, you know, some challenges that you've had to overcome along the way.
Thank you, Julia. It's great to be here. It was actually 2001, but we'll get into the story of how
2001. Okay, yep. My mistake. All right. So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions and so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Sure.
So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an agency owner?
I like working with passionate people. Right from the start, I can tell if people are really excited and passionate about their business. And what really motivates me from there is just being part of their success. Because they come to us, they need their story told, they need something better. And when I can be part of their success and when they acknowledge it, so the recognition or the praise, or when they say, hey, thanks, you really helped. That's what I really like. That's what drives me.
I love it. And talk a little bit about your story of starting your agency. So what was that, you know, how did you get into digital marketing? And then how did that segue into you starting or opening Raider Hill?
It's quite a long journey. It started way back and I was involved in student politics. Mm-hmm. And this was in the mid to late 1980s. And I was doing a lot of desktop publishing. Mac computers had recently come out and I was learning how to use that. Eventually, about half a decade or so later, almost a decade later, I ended up in where I am now working for somebody who was a government contractor, and he hired me because I had the same software skills that I had used in my student politics days. So he needed somebody who knew how to do desktop publishing that he didn't have to train, that knew how to use the software, and that was me. And then we did that, and we were creating documents for the provincial government. And then when they wanted to put those same documents online, we had to learn how to make web pages. And there were four books on web pages at the time. This wasn't go to Amazon, that didn't exist. It was go to the bookstore, and that was all you had. And there were only four books on creating web pages. That was in 1995. He bought one book, I bought one book, we read it, we figured it out, had a lot of discussions and so on. After working with him for a while, I moved on to work for two people who were mainly putting real estate agents online. First house sold in my city strictly online was because of them. Eventually, I bought their business, moved it out of their location into my basement, ran that for 3 years, mainly dealing in real estate, and then met two people who were working out of a real estate office who wanted to grow. And I wanted to grow. I had no idea what I was doing at the time, no idea how to run a business, just thought, okay, merging together. Mm-hmm. So we took our client lists, we combined them, and I've had the same two business partners for 21 years.
Oh, wow.
And we set up Raider Hill and mm-hmm. all just trying to figure all of this out. After about a year, we hired our first designer. And now since we had this big, beautiful office, or part of our process was bringing people into our office so we could actually physically have them in, show them the place, show them how everything worked. It was all part of our strategy for that. Okay. When the lockdown happened, that big, beautiful office became a big, empty, overpriced space. I've moved back home and I'm staying here. Mm-hmm. And we got rid of the space, got something smaller. So anyway, in that 21-year transition, we went from strictly design into the marketing and the various other aspects of what we could add and what we could do to drive traffic to a website and get results.
Okay, interesting. Mm-hmm. So how have you continued to grow your agency? You know, what was that? So I know your strategy in the early days was, you know, bringing prospects into your office and, you know, having that face-to-face connection. So how has that evolved and how do you bring more leads into your agency now?
We've always gotten a lot of leads through the word of mouth, referrals mm-hmm. from clients. And before the lockdown, we used to do workshops, in-person workshops and talks and so on. So we'll be starting those in the new year. We've decided to continue those probably on Zoom because so many people have gotten so used to that.
Interesting.
And as I talk to our current clients that have interest in these, they are interested in Zoom because it fits in better with their schedule. They can join us anyway.
Okay. Yeah. And for the workshops, is that some, like, have you partnered up with someone else to offer these workshops, or is this something that you're offering to, like, your email list that you've nurtured?
Yeah, we had always done them in-house. Yeah.
Okay. The email,
yeah. Clients and invite them to bring their friends as well.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Very cool. And then are there any other ways that you, you know, just work to bring in more leads into your agency?
Our organic search results do well because we ask people how they heard about us, and often they say they found us online.
Yeah.
So we know that works. That makes us feel good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very good. So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've been growing Radar Hill?
I think the biggest challenge, and it's probably true for any business, is not to be viewed as a commodity. Because every business, whether they're doing marketing or they're doing anything else, has something special and unique about them. And it's putting that across to their customers or their clients. So it's sort of that, it's not, I don't know if I'd say standing out, but it's to not be a commodity.
Right. So how have you overcome that and, you know, really tried to set yourselves apart from other digital marketers and agencies out there?
We follow a certain philosophy. It's the duct tape marketing system of really getting into, I guess the short form is the minds of the ideal clients. And I see, you know, the way I see a lot of the other web companies operating is they get a client and they say, what do you want? And then they basically put that on the website. Tell me about your business. And they put that on. So it's all centered on the business itself. And we have a chunk of clients who come to us. That's all they want. They don't want anything. They want what they want on the site. We want to work with the ones who don't quite know what sets them apart and need that assistance and need us to develop that messaging. We do that messaging by going out and getting into the minds of their clients.
Okay. So you help your clients to really find that clarity of what it is that they want, and then help them to create a strategy to help them to grow their business at the end of the day.
That's right. So that when their customers, because it involves talking to their best customers. So we help them to identify who they are. Mm-hmm. Then talking with them to find out why they use their services, when they refer them, what do they say when they refer them, why do they stick with them, and also what other opportunities that are missing, so that when we build the site, when an ideal customer gets to a website, it speaks to them. It speaks to them so they know that these people can solve their problems.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So Where do you see Radar Hill in 5 years' time?
Since we no longer operate by bringing people into the office, where we were very centered on our part of the world, expanding quite a bit more, sticking to Zoom, which I love for local meetings, I find, because for years I've huddled around a computer screen in our boardroom or a tablet in a coffee shop, and now I can pull everything up on my monitors. I have access to everything. I find it so much more convenient. And 5 years from now, expanding right across, we have clients across North America, but growing that base and then going to the other predominantly English speaking parts of the world too.
That's exciting. Yeah. And then, so how do you plan to reach that goal? What are some action steps that you plan on putting in place?
Action steps beside increasing our organic and our pay-per-click. I'm also a BNI member and am part of a network of marketers that are worldwide. So it's building relationships with them.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's through those two main approaches.
Interesting. So what would you recommend anyone who's interested in learning more about BNI? I'd love to hear a little bit more about what your experience has been like.
Yeah, if they're in an area, go visit a couple of chapters or more chapters and really shop around and keep in mind, it's not selling to the room. It's not that this is a room full of customers. It's looking at the people who are members now that are good natural sources of referrals. So for example, somebody who does strictly digital marketing, is there a web designer? Is there a videographer? Is there a business coach, accountant, business lawyers? It's the people that are the obvious sources, could be the obvious sources of referrals, but also think a little bit farther too. Is there somebody who does benefit programs for businesses, for example, or cost savings programs for businesses? Because if they are in a chapter, they're good natural connections. I have an excellent relationship with a cost-cutting specialist in my chapter because it's an easy, natural conversation when we're talking about a project and the price that we will charge to say, hey, if you're interested, I know somebody that can help save you money on all of your expenses. Would you be interested in having a conversation with her, free up some money that you can put into promoting your business? It's a very natural conversation.
That's interesting. Okay. So it's, you know, just creating those. So BNI, is it heavily referral based? Everyone is basically referring other BNI members. Is that how it works?
Yeah, it's referral based. And it's also, it's referral outside. The people that we encounter in our day-to-day activities is we educate each other about either what to look for or what to listen for, or depending on the business, it could be what to smell for when we're in a place. Like a member who, for example, deals with air purification systems or air filter or HVAC might say, okay, if you're in a business and it smells musty, that could be a potential referral for me.
Interesting. Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
So if you had any, you know, tips or just something that you could share with any up and coming agency owners to help them succeed, what would that be?
That's a tough one. It's probably, well, a couple of thoughts come to mind. One is setting goals and following a system to set a goal, or in setting their goals in some kind of a system to help them to achieve that goal. It would be to get help and guidance from others who are experienced and know what they're doing, and good guidance from them as well, whether that's a coach or a mentor or somebody like that who's got the practical knowledge to help them along.
Okay. I love that. Yeah. So just getting really clear with what your goals are, putting those action steps in place on how you're going to meet those goals, and then also taking advantage of working with a mentor or someone who is in a position where you would like to be and take advantage of their knowledge and what they've learned along the way to help you fast track your success.
Yeah. And a further thought for that is there's so much knowledge out there and there's so much advice and guidance, and it kind of comes in stages. We've got the magazine version, like nice and short. It's a couple of pages. And then there is the book version. And then there is the Onward, say, coaching or training program version. And I find if people are just using the magazine version, like they read an article, okay, this is how I have to do something, this is how I have to conduct my sales, they've only touched a tiny part of it. This is how I have to build a site, this is what's important in SEO. They've touched such a tiny part that they need to go up to the next level. Like it's more in-depth studying of it. And to really get the full benefit, it's to look at, is there some kind of a coaching or training program that's part of it? Mm-hmm. Because we take a tiny bit and we try to extrapolate, but there isn't enough. And that's what I found when I've gone from the magazine version compared to actually paying for the additional training. I've learned so much more from the paid component.
Right. So just keep continually investing in your skills and an expertise and personal growth to be just continuing to grow as an entrepreneur.
Yes, because we always are. This industry is always changing.
Yes, absolutely.
I wanted to be an astronaut as a kid. And one of the things I like is it's always exploring, and another is that it's always technical. And now I'm in a, or it's technical. Now I'm in a field that's very technical, and it's always changing. So it's like exploring.
Yes, absolutely. I completely agree. So we are going to be getting ready to move on to the fast five. So I'll have five rapid fire questions for you in just a moment. But before we move on, do you have any final thoughts or words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I think tying in with your earlier question about how we grew our business and what we do for growth, we purchased two businesses, basically two client lists from other people who had downsized their business. They're actually looking, they were retiring and Sprunk got rid of their staff and everything, just had their small client lists, and we purchased those. And sometimes that's a way to grow, but it's sort of a mixed view. And I guess my advice would be, if you're ever in a situation for that, to do that, you really want to look at the culture of the clients and how, what their expectations are from the business in relation to, say, the services that you can provide, how they feel about pricing, if they're trained for, say, low prices or the bare minimum, or what they're trained for. And I've talked with a lot of businesses who've gone through that, purchasing another business or purchasing a client list, with all sorts of mixed reviews. And often it's the customers have a certain view and a certain expectation from the business. And that gets all jangled up, I guess, when the business is sold. So that produces a lot of stress and a lot of mixed expectations.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Managing expectations with your clients going through that transitioning and making sure that whoever you're selling your company to, or whoever you're buying the company from, making sure that you're in alignment with pricing and culture as well, how you're going to communicate with your clients. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, I think that's great advice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're ready to move on to the fast five. So I have five rapid fire questions for you. Are you ready?
Okay. Yes.
All right. So first question, what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
The book I've read that's made an impact that I recommend to every business I encounter is Profit First by Mike Michalowicz. And there's newer versions written by other people still following the system. Like I'm now reading Profit First for Contractors. But it's along the same. Yeah, huge impact on businesses' finances. Yeah. We implemented it just after the lockdown, and it's had a huge impact in our business. The other one I suggest to people in our industry is Built to Sell by John Worrell, which tells a story of somebody who has an agency that's doing all things to all people, and how he changes this agency to make it profitable and to get it ready to sell. So it's a nice parable type with some good advice in it.
Awesome. Those are two great recommendations. And what does your morning routine look like?
My morning routine, I'm up early. I do some stretching, some my affirmations, some writing, a bit of meditation and so on. Get myself in a good positive mindset. Mm-hmm. And depending on the time, I might do some work. And at 9 o'clock, I bring the dogs for a walk.
Okay.
Around the neighborhood and then start my day.
Very good. I love that. You've got that time where you just, you know, take care of yourself, have a little time to just center yourself, set your goals, do some exercise outside, walk your dogs, and then you get started. So I think that's a great morning routine. Awesome. Yeah. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Yeah, John Jantz, who started the whole duct tape marketing network.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, author, and, speaker, yeah.
Yeah, okay, very good. And what is your favorite online tool?
I don't quite have a favorite right now. I am playing around with different AIs, artificial intelligence for doing things, and testing out or playing with some of those. So I don't quite have a favorite yet.
Okay.
Some of the content creation and the way that an AI can change the text that's given to it has been quite impressive.
Yes, it's very cool. Interesting. Very good. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
A lot. When I think back, I realize how little I knew when I started. And I think it ties in with the goal setting that I mentioned earlier. Setting and then having a system to actually keep a goal. It's more than just write it on a piece of paper and tuck it away in a book and look at it every year.
Right.
It takes a daily effort. And I had no concept of that when I started.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we read a book called Traction and Implemented EOS within Review Robin, and it's just an amazing way to set those goals and then, you know, work backwards and put in those monthly and weekly steps and action items that you need to do to reach those goals. And it's been one of the best decisions that we made at our business.
Excellent. Yeah, I just added it to my list.
Yeah, yeah, definitely read Traction. It's a great book.
Great.
Awesome. Great. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show and learn about your story of starting Radar Hill. So thank you again for joining me today, Sean.
Thank you, Julia. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.